All right, so anyway, so I start with the Riemann-Hilbert correspondence, and eventually we'll move to non-abelian Hodge theory in dimension one. So I will start with kind of a, let me call it like three worlds of equations in dimension one. So one is just differential equations in one variable. Yeah. So let's, z belongs to C or CP1. So this is differential. The second one will be the world of Q difference equations. For that we need to fix non-zero complex number, and this is some matrix valued functions. Here say on the line, and here C star. Say meromorphic or rational. And I will refer to this case as to rational. This is trigonometric. And of course, there should be an elliptic. For this, we need to fix an elliptic curve. Let's work, I will work over complex numbers. And some point H, which is analogous to this Q. And so the equation be this one. So this is elliptic case. Or if you like, elliptic world. Of course, this one admits a generalization to arbitrary curve. So we consider bundles with meromorphic connections on any curve. And these are more rigid. So we cannot have an action of C star on anything as well as the structure of abelian group. So it's indeed very rigid, but the reason for the terminology is not kind of, it's not apparent. It will be clear later on.
Now you're not considering difference equations on C?
I do not consider difference equations, although it's possible to consider difference equations. It's possible to include them as well. It's okay. So, so this is what I mean in dimension one, because here it's just one parameter everywhere. Yeah. So here we can speak about Q difference connections, but it's just the same terminology because it really doesn't, and elliptic difference connections, it doesn't mean that we upgrade the curve to something more complicated. So, and I would like to start with, so actually it should be a reminder because I gave a talk about Riemann-Hilbert correspondence in dimension one, I think during my last visit a year ago. But there will be something new which I want to add to that story. So there is a kind of a, so the Riemann-Hilbert correspondence, for example, classically, if we assume that these are Fuchsian equations, so A of z has a poles of order one. It's just a relation between differential equations, so bundles with connections, and representations of a fundamental group. So that's just a reminder. But what the first point is that there is a unifying geometry which allows to speak about all three cases simultaneously. And it's not a geometry in dimension one, it's a geometry in dimension two. Actually, the main definition can be given in any dimension. So what I need to start with is a holomorphic symplectic manifold, but in this case, it will be holomorphic symplectic surface. And they will be different in all three cases, but there will be a holomorphic symplectic surface in each of the cases. And the main definition is the notion of a logarithmic extension, log extension. If you have a surface, sometimes it can be kind of a log Calabi-Yau, so you have compactification by adding log divisors. This is a sort of a weaker notion. We will have a partial compactification. So, which we call a log extension of this is a Poisson surface. In general, it's not unique. It's M log such that this is an open symplectic leaf in the Poisson surface. So the difference is kind of a normal crossing divisor. And the condition is that if I take an open part, like throw away all intersections with other components, so it's an open smooth part, so then it is an omega to zero log divisor, which means that the order of the pole is exactly one. Or equivalently, in terms of the Poisson bracket, this means that the Poisson bracket vanishes with order one. So then this is a partial compactification. And so two examples. These three worlds. So the easiest one is elliptic. So then M is this one, and M log the product CP1. You should think that there are two copies of E. And here we have this C star stretched between them. And there is an easy holomorphic symplectic form, which has poles for the one here and there. OK, so in this case, we have just two divisors, two log divisors, and they do not intersect. So more complicated story with trigonometric. So here we start with.
If A had singularities on.
Yeah, that's I will. Yeah, that's exactly the point. The singularities of A will be absorbed in the different choice of a log extension. I will demonstrate it in the rational case just in a minute. So here I start with C star square. As for log extension, there are many of them. Actually, log extensions are determined by the choice of a rational fan. So, rational fan equivalently a collection of rational rays R2. So then we have a toric surface. Toric surface, which contains the open orbit. And the only thing is the toric divisors can intersect, and they intersect the intersection points. The form is not logarithmic. But let's just throw away intersection points. So n log is the toric surface minus intersection points, whatever. Dj. Just throw away these points. Now here we see that these log divisors, the open part of log divisors, they're elliptic curves. Here, the open part of the log divisors is C star. And the rational case, which will explain also the terminology. Here, I even do not want to assume that I start with the equation. I started with an arbitrary curve. Compact curve, and these are singular points for the connection. And if we are near fixed singular point, we can classify the local models to see what are the moduli. Yeah? And this is known. It's known as Fukuhara-Levell-Turitin theorem, HLT, which gives the normal form for the meromorphic connection on the formal disk. So then if you have a bundle which is trivial, of course, over formal disk with a connection, so then it's a direct sum of simple blocks. It's, if you like, in the terminology of D-modules, it's a tensor product of two D-modules. One is, it depends on I, so I should put dependence on I somewhere. So this is a simple exponential D-module, something like 1 minus 1 over Z. It corresponds to standard irregular connections. And this tensor factor, it's a connection with regular singularities, which means it's poles of order 1 only. So these pieces, they are responsible for, for the local monodromy. And this is responsible for the Stokes phenomenon, for the direction. Okay. This is a local story. And we see that there are moduli, because the coefficients, these are up to going to finite ramified cover of this disk, these are negative Laurent polynomials. Something indeed like this, maybe 4z squared, things like this, only negative powers, right? So we need to fix this if you want to have some tame answer. So let's fix them. And so fix. So z minus 1, z is a local parameter at this point. So that's okay. So fix this collection. Let's call them singular terms. Yeah. So then we can look for bundles with connections such that the singular terms are fixed. So it's a category like. All right. So then the claim is, so there exist finitely many finite sequence of blow-ups. Of the fiber-wise compactified cotangent bundle. So that's a curve, it's a cotangent bundle, and it's another copy of the curve at infinity. Yeah, so then it's compact if C was compact. So, okay, there exists finite sequence of blow-ups of this surface. Say projective surface if C was projective, such that these log divisors omega to zero of T star C log divisors are in one-to-one correspondence with this singular term. So this is how we take care about. If all singular terms are trivial, which means that if we have only poles of order one, we can do just one blow up. For example, if C is CP1, that's what related to this project with my son and Roma. So then this is a Hirzebruch F2 surface. And then we can look for the linear algebra data describing coherent shifts on the blown up, like exceptional collection or something like that. All right. So this collection of rational arrays, by the way, if you look kind of more carefully, the local story of Q difference equations, you will see that there is no Stokes phenomenon. There is no exponential growth. Everything is determined by just discrete number of parameters, which are rational arrays. So basically, this HLT is just a decomposition of the local category into the sum of blocks. So different blocks for different collections of these singular terms, they do not talk to each other. All homes are trivial. And the same is true for Q difference and elliptic difference. All right, so then this is a geometry. And again, for Q difference, it's maybe just a remark here. Q difference story. Kind of as a local model, I believe it's up to some constant matrix. It's something like this. So A and B are integers, so relatively prime. So then we have a rational number which determines a rational array. All right. Now, Riemann-Hilbert correspondence in this language. Let's see whether it's a time. Yeah, before, okay, so the usual Riemann Hilbert, just as I said, we have like connections with regular singularities at finitely many points, and it's the same as representations of the fundamental group, the punctured surface, which is the same as local systems, locally constant sheets on the same thing. Yeah. And locally, okay, so actually that's enough for the beginning. So the first observation is that this side of the Riemann-Hilbert correspondence can be interpreted in terms of symplectic geometry, like certain A-brains. And in general, if I have even not necessarily holomorphic, but let's assume that I start with a holomorphic symplectic surface, then I can make it into a four-dimensional real symplectic manifold. Yeah. So then I can ask for the Foucault category. Category of A brains of this symplectic surface. But kind of I should specify what I'm talking about. So first of all, this is my real, it's a C infinity symplectic form, yeah? But also there is a B field, which I cannot get rid of. Yeah. To this B field, actually, I can add some other class. Yeah, in general. So then, let me write it in this way. Yeah, Foucault category. And one thing, M is non-compact. So then, in order to define the Foucault category, I should allow non-compact Lagrangians, real Lagrangians, and I should say what they are. So technically, it should be called like partially wrapped Foucault category. So the point is that this log extension determines the boundary behavior of the Lagrangians. And the behavior is as follows. Here it can be, in general, like ideally, it can be even a singular C infinity generically, but singular Lagrangian, which near the log divisor, so it should intersect it only the smooth point transversally, maybe finitely many points, and near the intersection point, it should look as a cylinder. So this is a piece of C star. So these are Lagrangians, and so these are real Lagrangians. And of course, compact Lagrangians are also allowed. Now, if you require that the Lagrangians look like this, so the B field vanishes near the boundaries, so then we can ignore it when considering some boundary behavior. Now, this piece, so I will ignore it, but in fact, it can be anything, any two form representing some class. Of course, if M is a cotangent bundle, there is not too much possibilities, but when in the trigonometric and elliptic cases, okay, this can play a role. By the way, as for the terminology, if we consider this story, yeah, the rational one, so then the log divisors are isomorphic to C, and they do not intersect. So that indeed in each of the three cases we have either rational or C star, it's trigonometric or elliptic, so then that's why I call them like this. And later when we will want to consider some twister families, then we can introduce we can rescale, we can do like this, and if you'd like, we can add some additional class. Yeah, but even this one is nice. So we can take the real part, we can take the B field. Yeah. And so we can consider the Foucault category, which now depends on zeta. So, all right. Now, examples of the Riemann-Hilbert restated restated with the help of this two-dimensional geometry. So the easiest one is a classical Riemann-Hilbert correspondence. Yeah, when we have only first order poles. So that's the story. So let's take a singular point on the curve. Let's take a small circle and consider its conormal bundle. So everything is real now since I consider a circle, yeah? Conormal bundle sits inside the cotangent bundle, which I also consider as a C-infinity symplectic manifold, four dimension. Okay? So this circle can be chosen co-oriented, so then I can look just for half a cylinder with the positive part. And I do it at every point. So the full conormal bundle or this cylinder, it's a Lagrangian manifold, yeah. So then I can define the Lagrangian, the big one, which is the union of the zero section and this positive these half cylinders. And also, if I want to talk about connections, not all holonomic D-modules, then I should remove small disks. Just yeah. All right. So anyway, this is a Lagrangian in this cotangent bundle. And basically what I am saying that in the right-hand side of the Riemann-Hilbert here, I should take a subcategory in the Foucault category of the cotangent bundle, which is generated by this object. It can be equivalently described in terms of constructible sheaves. It's just constructible sheaves DB. I mean, everything, technically everything is derived, but I would like to suppress as much derived language as I can. But anyway, it's a subcategory consisting of those sheaves whose singular support belongs to L. So, if you do not like Foucault categories, you can just take it as an answer. But the point is that in higher dimensions, it's Riemann-Hilbert is formulated as an equivalence between derived categories in regular singularity case of holonomic D-modules and some subcategory. Well, derived you can take derived category of all constructible sheaves, or if you want to kind of to take care about its T structure, which just holonomic D-modules, it will be perverse.
Drescott is a constructible sheaf.
Yes, you should have a stratification. Like, for example, you have a curve, you have finitely many points. So this is a stratification, which consists of zero. So then on each stratum, it's a local system. That's it. So, which means that you have vector spaces here and local systems in the complement. So then, this is an intuitive picture for reconstructible sheaf. There are some compatibility conditions between strata, but in this case, it's all right. So then, basically, it's just a generalization of a local system. So if for example, if you have a local system, it is a constructible sheaf. But not every constructible sheaf is a local system. So that's a point. All right. So then the observation is that in conventional Riemann-Hilbert, you can replace representations of the fundamental group by a purely symplectic object. That was my point a year ago. And there is a reason for that. What's the reason? The reason the reason is the following. It's a general fact. Suppose that you have in any dimension a KP1 space, yeah, and you look for the Foucault category of the cotangent bundle. This space, yeah? Riemann surface is KP1. So then, actually, maybe even let's forget about KP1. Any manifold, and you look for the Foucault category of the cotangent bundle. It's a question how to define it, but you can believe that it's possible to do. And so, and again, in some partially wrapped sense. And so it's the same as a category of DG modules or some DG algebra. And what is DG algebra? You should take a point and consider Bayes' loop, any point. Consider Bayes' loops and consider chains negatively graded. You can shift the grading in this. Yeah. So it's a DG algebra. Chains. Yeah. And I should say what kind of modules I consider. So if you want to have a fully wrapped Foucault category, it should consider perfect modules. If you want finite dimensional, it should consider finite dimensional modules. Since I want local systems, local systems are finite dimensional, so this should be finite dimensional. That's what I consider. And the reason for the kind of illustration which I started with, if this is a KP1, yeah, space, then you can, then this DG algebra, it is quasi-isomorphic to the group algebra, whatever, of Z, of the fundamental group of your space. So then, instead of talking about local systems as representations of the fundamental group, we talk about modules. Okay, so that's a story. So, and this is the classical Riemann-Hilbert. And now let me tell you one of the answers in trigonometric case. Okay, the point is to, I mean, I can formulate it in a sort of a classical way that on the left-hand side will be some category of Q difference equations, and on the right-hand side there will be something. But I will kind of formulate it in symplectic terms because it's kind of nice. So one version, so a version of, let me call it Q Riemann Hilbert, because of this Q which I erased. Okay. So on the left hand side there will be this category of Q difference equation. What will be on the right hand side? So I start with this C star square, yeah. And inside we have a torus. Actually, this is a product of the torus and R2, yeah, which is of course a cotangent bundle to the torus. But the thing is that the standard symplectic form on the cotangent bundle does not agree with the one which we started with. Yeah. If I take the real part of this, it's a different one. Nevertheless, the answer will be very much similar to what we saw here. But in terms, for some reasons, which probably symplectic geometers will appreciate, this T2 should be called totally real skeleton. C star square. At least what one can see that with respect to this symplectic form, it's indeed a totally real submanifold. Why skeleton? It's a different story. All right. Now, we had this collection of rational rays, which we should fix. It's like something which is responsible for singularities. It's part of the data. So each rational ray, which is a pair of relatively prime numbers, it defines the PQ geodesic. On the torus. So then we have a bunch of geodesics, finitely many of them. And then we play exactly the same game. We take the conormal bundle and take the positive part. So let me call it LPQ. It's half a cylinder. So then we have a bunch of this LPQ. And so we defined L, which is a union of the zero section. And all this L, maybe PQ is not good because Q is fixed, so let's call it A and B. because Q is fixed. So, and then looking at this answer, I would like to say that on the right-hand side, there will be the same category, like subcategory and the derived category of constructible sheaves on the torus with a singular support which belongs to the union of these things. It's almost true, but not exactly, because I have the difference between a trigonometric and the rational case is the fact that there is a non-trivial second cohomology class now. So cotangent bundle was exact. This is not exact. So there is a class of the torus. And so we should twist that category by something obtaining a gerb. So we pick a generic point, say x, and we require that whatever constructible sheaves we have, so when restricted to the torus, they are just local systems, yeah? And we require that the monodromy about this point, it's q in the power of whatever my symplectic form is, omega t2, product with identity. All right. So if I have a constructible sheaf, then kind of ideally I get something like a quiver. It's a description in terms of linear algebra data. For example, if I split my base, if the complement like would be the union of contractible sets, which is not the case, but just imagine, then for the local system can be trivialized on each contractible thing. Yeah? So then you will have a bunch of vector spaces, and for boundary between two domains, you would need to say what is a linear map. So you have a bunch of vector spaces and maps. In the derived version, it's not just vector spaces, it's complexes. But again, let's ignore this. And so then you have a bunch of arrows. And if you have an intersection of things like this, there is one consistency condition. Something like sum of these two is isomorphic to the sum of these two. Some cone is trivial. All right. So then this is the answer in the Q, in the trigonometric case. There are some other answers.
Actually, the category of difference modulus is equal to this category.
No, it's not easy to see that. It's absolutely not easy to see.
No, no, thanks. I'm saying this is the answer. When you say this is the answer.
In the answer, that no. Means that, the category of the category of holonomic Q difference modules, so like Q difference connections or Q difference equations, is equivalent to this one. Yeah. It's also equivalent to subcategory in the derived category of coherent sheaves in the elliptic curve, such that every object is endowed with two anti-Hardner-Narasimov filtration. So there are completely different descriptions. But I can kind of spend more time on that. But if you kind of for example, how to convince yourself that something like that could be true. For that, you start with the derived category of coherent shifts on the elliptic curve, and there is this so-called coherent constructible correspondence, which in the case of toric manifolds gives you the answer in terms of some constructible shifts, right? So, and you will see that kind of before you, you can think of Q difference equations as deformations of coherent shifts. Similarly, like usual differential equations, they are deformations of coherent shifts in the Cartesian bundle. So then before the deformation, you have some equivalence between coherent story and constructible one. Then you kind of may want to convince yourself that when you deform coherent shifts to D-modules or Q-D-modules, then it still be equivalence between whatever you get and some constructible shifts. And this Q appears in the twisting of the category of constructible shifts. Yeah, so that's very, I don't know. Now, I'm not going to give a better kind of a description in the elliptic case. Actually, there are two possibilities, maybe I should say, kind of the two elliptic worlds. So one is when I start with this one, okay, and another one when I start with CP2 and consider CP2 minus smooth cubic, like E. Yeah. These are two different stories, and they have two different quantizations. So this is elliptic difference equations, and these are Sklenian algebras. So here, if you quantize, so we get a category of holonomic modules. Sklenian algebra. Some strange reason people in this industry, people studying representations of Sklenian algebra, they were interested in finite dimensional representations instead of looking for holonomic modules. All right. Holonomic, it's okay. Like in the case of differential equations, like in any dimensions, if you have a D module, so D module, whatever, then you can define its characteristic variety. Simplest case looking for common zeros. So then it's Lagrangian.
Okay, so then this classical limit is Lagrangian.
Yeah, but when you, for example, deal, say, with trigonometric story, Q is a fixed number. Mm-hmm. It's like what you said, that you cannot take it as a parameter. You cannot take it. You should say what is a holonomic module intrinsically. So what's a corresponding algebra in trigonometric case? It's a quantum torus, of course. So we have C star square with that symplectic form, or equivalently this bracket. Yeah. So you quantize. So you get quantum torus, and every variable is every generator is inversible. So you have some algebra, yeah, like two generators, this subject to this relation, and then there are different modules, like, you know, which you can consider, but what is true that this algebra is graded, but what I need that it just filtered. Yeah. Mm. So you can so here it's a little bit kind of misleading because it's really graded, but anyway, I would like to say that it's filtered. So when the total order is less or equal to k. So, and then it's an analog of Bernstein filtration for differential operators on the vector space, and I just develop the notion of the module. So I look for the module. Okay, it's AQ module with filtration, which is compatible with this one in the natural sense. Yeah? And if I look for the associated graded, yeah, there should be control growth of the graded components. So if I take, I don't know, ith component, it should grow, I forgot, EQ 1 plus 1. So some linear growth. So anyway, so this gives you definition of a holonomic module, kind of mathematical definition. In general, I mean, higher dimensions, you should think that you have a simple complex symplectic manifold with its partial compactification. And these divisors, log divisors, they define you kind of a, you can look for functions in this open symplectic leaf, which has poles at these log divisors. So then you can filter the algebra of functions by, I don't know, by the maximal. You can work either with a filtration or multi-filtration, depending on how brave you are. But you can take the maximal order of the pole. So you get a filtered algebra. You quantize it. So then you get a quantum filtered algebra. So the growth of the poles, it corresponds in the theory of the usual D-modules to the order of differential equations. Yeah, because when you start with M, take the Potanzan bundle, maybe X, and this is my M. If I compactify, it's not a log divisor in general, but just let's pretend. Certainly, you have a filtration by the growth of the symbol. So when you quantize, you get differential operators as a filtered algebra. So then the choice, it's the meaning of this log extension is that you can speak about analogs of differential operators and holonomic D-modules. It's not D, whatever your quantum algebra is. All right. So then in this case, it will be Sklянин. In this case, it will be not. All right. So I think my next step is Hodge theory and monopoles, but I don't know. I think I started at 2, what? And now it's 3. So you see, time is really. So I can stop, but then it's a kind of a, I just repeat, it's an introduction. But I can say in few words, I can try
this,
to...
This proves that in all of the situations, full category can be restated in.
What I'm saying that, that's on the, if I think in terms of Riemann-Hilbert, without trying to construct some twister families, even before, then the Foucaille is okay. I mean, I just, it doesn't matter. In some cases, I can express it in terms of constructible shifts, in some cases not, but it's always Foucaille.
Yes.
It's a category of eight brains, so that's the point. Now, if you want to have twister families, it turns out that Foucaille is also good, so that's the point. And again, in some cases you can, for example, if you look here, so there is a nice property of this family with respect to this twister parameter. This is equivalent to the opposite category with an opposite complex structure. Yeah, let's call it Hermitian dual. Yeah, so it's true on the categorical level, and it's sort of, in a sense, it's completely trivial because Foucaille category is determined by symplectic data. You just look what's happened with this symplectic form and with the B field. So then the question is that you have something over C star, and you want to extend it here and here, yeah, to get a twister family over CP1. So this should be, conventionally, it's like Higgs bundles. Okay, then, but it's not just a Higgs bundle. So this is where this non-abelian Hodge theory starts. Well, if you kind of go back to 90s to this works of Simpson, you will see that he relates not just Higgs and say local systems. Yeah? Because if you have some singularities like first order poles, you should introduce some parabolic structure everywhere. So you should introduce some parabolic structure here. You should introduce parabolic structure here, the Higgs field. And moreover, you should take, like, if you take simple local systems, you should take a stable Higgs. So, and the definition, or the notion of stability, if you have a parabolic structure, it depends on the notion of parabolic degree. So you should really upgrade everything. For example, you should be able to speak about Foucaille categories with parabolic structure in order to have this equivalence. And basically, this is what he does. He has a family of local systems, which are filtered, which means this parabolic structure, and this so-called R-parabolic structure, like numbers from 0 to 1, or you can extend it periodically to real numbers. Yeah. And here you have something like stable, or if you want the level of categories, you can consider some semi-simple and semi-stable. And the main kind of idea of this works of Simpson in the 90s, that there is, in order to establish this equivalence, you need to have an intermediate object. This intermediate object is called harmonic bundle. So in fact, he does not prove directly that these two are equivalent. Each of them is equivalent to harmonic bundles. And harmonic bundles, so he considered first, let's, in the case of curves, they are Hermitian bundles with unitary connections with certain tame behavior at the singularities, like no more than powers. So that's an intermediate object. So the claim is that in trigonometric and elliptic cases, the replacement for harmonic bundles should be monopoles which are two-periodic in trigonometric case and three-periodic in the elliptic case. And it's true not only at the level of moduli spaces, it's true at the level of categories. So in fact, what we get is what we call Twister family of categories. So this is how it looks like outside of, you know, and here we should look at the surface symplectic, complex symplectic surface in question. Look for first compactly supported coherence sheets, one thing. And second, we need to introduce some notion of stability to speak about parabolic degrees. And it's not just compactly supported coherence sheets, it's what's called pure dimension one. The support should be a curve. So these curves are spectral curves. If you interpret like following Cherkis, like two-periodic monopoles in terms of Higgs bundles with group values Higgs bundles, so then the corresponding spectral curve will be the support of the coherence sheaf which belong to this category. Okay, and also of course the point is that we need to add parabolic structure, yeah? And this parabolic structure is determined by the behavior of the spectral curve near the log divisor. It is intrinsically given in terms of this log extension. Now, how to see monopole geometry in terms of Fukuya? So monopoles, you should have something like R3, like a real manifold with affine structure. You should have finite set of singularities, like in the simplest case, it's like Dirac singularities for the solutions to Bogomolny equation. And you should also have a foliation with transversal, with complex transversal structure. Foliation and transversally, I mean the quotient by the foliation doesn't have to be Hausdorff, but we can speak about the transversal complex structure. And that's so this geometry, it's not very difficult to see that this is a geometry associated with periodic monopoles 2 or 3. So then the question is how to see it from this Fukuya business. And it comes like this. If you have this log divisor, there are three possibilities. It's like C, C star, anyway, it's two-dimensional, real two-dimensional story. And here we have four-dimensional. So then we can make a real blow up, say each of them of this log extension. It's a real blow up, so then the divisor become a real three-dimensional. It's actually, it's kind of a fiber bundle, S1 fiber bundle. Over the device. So if you look carefully, you will see that this is exactly the geometry, the necessary geometry. And in order to define the parabolic structure in such terms, I mean, if you, what is the object of the Fukuya category? It's a pair, like local system and the connection. If you have a B field, the connection is not flat. Its curvature is equal to the B field. But by our restrictions, near the log divisor, every Lagrangian looks as a tube, so then the B field vanishes. So then locally here, we have just local systems with connections, with flat connections. And then if you have a Lagrangian, for example, a spectral curve, it intersects the divisor in finitely many points, eigenvalues for the Higgs field in this model. Then in the real blow up over each point, we have a circle because it's a circle S1 bundle. Then we can take the connection and find the monodromy along this circle. This gives us a number, and we can require that this is a unitary connection, so it's an element of U1. So this is a parabolic weight. So then basically the parabolic structure, by analogy with the Simpson story, is given by the collection. So for each divisor, Pi, I is fixed, but I have another index which corresponds to the eigenvalues, to the intersection points. And for each of these, I have an additional index k, which marks the monodromies. So these are parabolic weights in the Foucault setting. And then there is a, so far it's conjectural, but a statement which says that if we put here a family of Foucault categories with prescribed parabolic structures and the log divisors, and if we put here these coherent sheaves compactly supported with the same parabolic structure and semi-stable, then the whole thing will be an analytic family of categories which satisfy this property for any zeta. So that's a twister family. So that's a non-abelian Hodge theory. Yeah. Okay, now I think I can really stop.
So is the notion of twister category preexistent, or is it something or is it just this is an example of a twister?
Now, there is a definition, and actually even the definition is not quite complete. So there is a working definition of the notion of a twister family of categories.
So for example, if I have a hypercalor manifold.
The sections, and among the sections you will see hyperholomorphic shifts.
Is that holomorphic shift should be an example of a twister category?
Yeah. If my space is were compact,
yes.
Then it's a theorem proved by Verbitsky in the 90s that you can construct. But since they are non-compact, so then there are some difficulties which look technical, but maybe it's more than technical. Recently, by the way, like maybe a couple of weeks ago, Mochizuki published a paper in which he studied periodic monopoles. It's returning to your question about difference equations. If you consider one periodic monopole, it is related to difference equation, not Q difference, but difference. And so then he kind of worked out these parabolic structures.
Yeah. Does the structure of this family over CP1 have to do with this like twister D modules story?
In the case when in the rational case it's precisely the twister D module, so it's in higher dimensions it's again it's Mochizuki. In dimension one it's still a special case of Mochizuki by considered by Simpson, so it's like the twister family constructed by means of it's called zeta connections. Like it's a way, if there are no marked points, if there are no singularities, it's just a hyperkeller structure on the moduli of Higgs bundles. If there are marked points, you should fix something, otherwise it's not hyperkeller. You should fix like conjugacy class. Or if it's semi-simple, just eigenvalues. Yeah. Yeah, but it's twister. Yeah, it's the, yeah, indeed. Okay, actually it's a good point, yeah. You have a category of twister demodules, so in the rational case, which I did not quite discuss, yeah, it's it will be just twister demodule.
Is it a twister family of categories or a category of twister objects?
Okay, so there is a notion of twister family of categories.
Yes.
One thing. Now, you consider analytic sections of okay. this family. And then they will be, yeah, this will be twister family. Actually, to say what is an analytic section, I mean, again, to make every word of the previous phrase more precise, it requires some work. Even to say what is an analytic family of, in this case, it's A infinity category, which either triangulated or abelian, it requires some foundational.
So for each zeta, you have a category and then a deformation to nearby.
For each
zeta, like more a Cartan element or something.
That's a way how you want to describe it. If you mean the definition, it's just a family of categories which satisfy, which has functors. Yeah, involutive functors. And there should be some additional.
When you say family, what does it actually mean? What does it mean to have?
That you should. There are different level of pleasantry which you can get. There is a formalism of analytic DG stacks developed, I believe, by Porta. So then you can indeed have a lot of abstract definitions which tells you what does it mean that you have an analytic family of objects in your category.
But could you talk about it? Will there be a global section which in every fiber is a generator?
It's not a generator, it just belongs to the category.
No, I'm asking, like, does there exist? I mean, if there was such a global section, then we could forget about categories and talk about algebras and it's all very concrete.
Ah. Again, the problem is with zero and infinity. What are the generators for the category of Higgs bundles? That's what I discussed with my son and Emmanuel Diaconescu, even in the case of CP1. I have no idea. You have an exceptional collection for Hirzebruch, but when you start to make blow-ups, this blown-up surface, I mean, if you do just blow-ups, of course, by Orlov, you have an exceptional collection on a blow-up. But here, it's only partial compactification, which means that you allow coherent shifts which have support only on curves which hit this. And if you did an honest blow-up, you have some other divisors where your symplectic structure has poles of higher order and you do not want to include them in the story. Then it should be some orthogonality condition, yeah? That something should be orthogonal to DB And when you start to write it down, it gets, okay, crazy. Maybe my son knows the answer, but I don't.
Are there sort of Stokes phenomena for the generators?
You do not see Stokes phenomenon if you are not on the Betti side. If you look for what is a Stokes phenomenon for
in
kids?
Zeta, in Z.
Yeah, of course. If you want to describe them in down-to-earth terms, yeah, it's, you have a wall crossing, absolutely. If you want to describe this FZ, the Foucault category, then generically, like if you have some Lagrangian, like generator, as Kevin suggests, yeah, there are no disks. But there are some directions where the disks appear. Yeah, so then there is a wall crossing, but there is a machinery to construct. Yeah, I mean, it's a wall crossing. So it's a standard thing, you know, from the previous life. Yeah, but the problem is with extension to zeta equal to zero. There are no good generators. The symmetries of the Foucault, like Foucault, it's a topological thing, like representations of a fundamental group. Yeah, like Weaver, something like that. It's a very small number of symmetries. And when you extend to zeta equal to zero, it jumps enormously. So then I don't know what to do. But yeah, but it would be actually very interesting because if everything will be described in terms of quivers, but it's a strange phenomenon. It's kind of a mixture of exceptional generators, spherical generators, and it's even not enough to describe this Higgs bundles. It's
so is it in this formalism, is it obvious that if I take true global sections, so now there are families of global sections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this, the Hitchin-Mollard space itself, it's a family of global sections of this category, mm-hmm. right? If I take Holmes from, say, the base to this family, this should be an heteromorphic sheaf, whatever that means, over the Hitchin-Mollard space. Can you?
Yeah, it should be, because here you take an object and you just consider Holmes from this object to whatever you want. But I mean, on general grounds, yeah, there should be a hyperholomorphic section. I don't know how to say in abstract. Which comes from a single object, yeah.
Right. So it's like these Dirac Higgs bundles of.
Yeah, in of kind of in concrete term in examples, yeah.
Sorry. Another question I want to ask, so right, about twister categories. So for the BBB case, for the hyperholomorphic case. You said this is understood.
No, I'm not saying this is understood.
For compact.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what an anthropomorphic.
There is a notion of hyperholomorphic sheaf in the compact case, and there are some conditions, and yeah, I can kind of send you a paper by Verbitsky. I think it's beginning of 2000 or 90s, which described, yeah.
I don't know how to think about complexes, hyperholomorphic complexes of bundles.
Wouldn't they just be sections of the bombs? I mean, it should have very few sections, but locally it should be pretty big.
Are you sure that there are complexes which are not quasi-isomorphic to something sitting in 1 degree?
Well, I don't know.
Because you see this hyperholomorphic.
Like the
Foucault-wise, they look like all Maslow indices are the same. So they, on the A side, looks like just object sitting in 1 degree, but I don't know. Maybe it's the same on the B side.
The same. Yeah, I don't know.
Me too.
What are the most general?
No, but there is no really theory. It's rather a framework, you know, with, it's like big pot with many holes, it's unpainted in some places.
Because, for example, you might want to say that this... So some of these spaces have mirrors, right? Like...
I mean, they all have mirrors.
Right, and this like category...
Modularized bundles have mirrors, or the spaces themselves?
The spaces, these M's sometimes have mirrors. And so this Foucaire, this family of Foucaires should become hyperholomorphic, should become the family of B-brains, the Twistor family of B-brains on the mirror.
You see this tweet, so the Foucaire style of description of this Twistor family is just one possibility. Yeah. It's like Betti, you know, there is this Dalbovich's, Higgs, Deramovich, bundles with connections, and Betti, which are local. So this is Betti. And I just gave it to save the time. But you can try to say it in terms of modules over quantum algebras, like analogs of zeta connections.
Oh, what I wanted to say is that there should be twistorial family of mirror symmetries. I mean, mirror symmetry should be, when you have mirror symmetry, mm-hmm. for example, they should hold not just fiber wise, but for the whole twister structure.
What they should connect, like hyperholomorphic categories of hyperholomorphic sections on one side.
Yes.
With those on the other one. Or,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, suppose you take the C star times C star, right?
Uh-huh.
Do mirror symmetry.
Okay, so there are possibilities. Yeah.
So now on the other side, this Lagrangian should become sheaves.
Yes.
And zeta should become the complex structure.
Okay.
The choice of complex structure, sister and sister, right?
Yeah, but I'm confused. So since it's sort of a hype. Practically hyper-Keller case, so the mirror symmetry, it's like hyper-Keller rotation, no?
Sorry, I might be getting confused, sorry. No, the mirrors should be BBB, no.
The mirror to what?
This case, we're looking at Lagrangian since it started.
I forgot the terminology, it's A, B.
These are BAA.
BAA.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're Lagrangians almost everywhere, and then they become sheaves. They're complex Lagrangians, sorry. Mm-hmm. They're complex Lagrangian manifolds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suppose you do mirror symmetry. There is a tissue right in this geometry. So.
Actually, I just realized that I do not understand one thing even. So if you look for this monopole, I mean, can you see this BBB in terms of monopoles? If I look, because what you're asking, it's like analog of hyperholomorphic sheaves, yeah, for this trigonometric story, which is the same as two periodic monopoles.
Which are also three periodic instants.
Yeah, so then how to think of this hyperholomorphic?
There was a variant where there are four periodic instants.
All right, but anyway, what?
I'm confused. I'm not saying anything.
It should be difficult actually. So you're asking what is a hyperholomorphic, say, bundle for this trigonometric.
Because suppose a C star times a point becomes a line times a circle.
So these Lagrangians intersect the circles at points, right?
Huh?
So these Lagrangians here, right?
Mm-hmm. So which Lagrangians? If you think this one, it's not the nicest picture. It's just some answer, I mean. Basically, you can, I mean, the general answer, it's yeah, you take just whatever, partially wrapped, you take Lagrangians here, yeah, which.
The total fibers at points.
Yeah. It's not torus fiber, it's a star.
No, I'm saying this is star squared has a mu.
Ah.
It's a torus fiber, right, over R2.
But it's not Lagrangian, that's what I'm saying. C star square, the vibration, this C star square or some other, this C star square over which torus? Or the torus which sits inside, it doesn't seem to be.
No, outside, not like that, but so what?
It depends. Ah, okay. Ah, I see. Mm.
No, of course, that's the problem. So I was just confused.
Yeah.
Understand later what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but. Let me ask you, but if it was Lagrangian, so then what?
No, I was confused.
You simply kind of dualize the tori. It's...
Yeah.
Possible.
If it was... That's like then these Lagrangians will go to sheaves, space filling sheaves on the mirror.
Then
and zeta will be there.
It's almost this story. I mean, if there was no this Jerga structure, if everything was Lagrangian, and even better, if it was kind of a torus vibration over some base, then indeed you would just dualize. Now, if you have this jerk, maybe it goes to a jerk. I don't know. Maybe it's not a coherent sheaf, the twisted coherent.
I mean, perhaps the elliptic case, I should say.
Elliptic case.
Wait, then there are effects.
The problem with elliptic case is that this twister family, which we describe it rather not in terms of the Fukaya, which doesn't look very, but in terms of three periodic monopoles, And so then that's why I asked you how you see in two periodic cases hyperplane.
I know there is a non-transform, right, from three periodic monopoles to instantons, to three periodic instantons.
And so what? And how to say that something? Do they just correspond to hyper holomorphic shifts?
Yeah, I think they correspond to holomorphic shifts on E dual tensor system.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And this should be a mirror symmetry thing.
That's interesting indeed. Because in the elliptic case, you have two elliptic parameters. One is a shift, and the other one is a modular parameter in the elliptic curve. And indeed, they can interchange. So yeah, there are two elliptic curves in the story.
And so for each zeta, this is a mirror symmetry.
Okay.
But it should be really a relation between these categories of holomorphic shifts on one side. And
but how do you see? You say that it just non-transform.
That's right. So it's a version of non-transform. That's right.
I can say it in trigonometric case, but it will be sort of very implicit.
No, I think in the trigonometric case is indeed part of the SL to Z function.
SL to Z, but there are two SL to Zs. You can act on the generators, this X hat and Y hat, which is sort of a space-time, and there is Fourier-Mukai. I mean, there are different, which acts on the category only. So probably non-transform is Fourier-Mukai.
That's right. Yeah. It's always Fourier-Mukai.
There are some interesting things here. As for Fourier-Mukai, even beyond that, there is a modularity with respect to this Q. And I do not see whether it doesn't seem to be related to hyperholomorphic or anything else.
Modular.
It's just a well-defined.
Why is it? It's modular.
Yeah, it's modular invariance, but it's not obvious from the description. So the twister family which we get, it's modular invariant with respect to Q. In terms of Fukaya, it's not a priori clear. It can be guessed from the Fukaya because in C star cross C star you have a family. Instead of torus fibre, you have a C-star family.
Right.
Yeah, good. And so then you can take any spectral curve and take home, as you say, from this spectral curve to a variable family of this C-star. Then you get some local, but if you look what you get something which lives not on the original elliptic curve, but on the modular transform.
Right.
So then, since you believe that it should be the same, then you can guess that there is a modular invariance. But it's not visible from this Fukaya business. It's clear probably from this two-periodic monopoles story. I think a SL to Z invariance is built.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some strange argument in terms of modules of the quantum torus itself. But in order to make it work, we need to allow like the case when absolute value of Q is equal to 1. Something like root
The map to the periodic monopoles is also taking home some object. some family of objects.
The map from where? What? No, I don't
the map from Fukaya to W periodic monopoles. It's also should also be taking home with some object.
Yes, because if it's a periodic monopole, it's a sheaf on like elliptic curve times S1, holomorphic and elliptic curve, and locally constant S1, and you're describing the fibers.
Well, I understand three periodic better. It's just taking the transversal to this one dimensional relation.
Right, he's taking the fibers of this bundle on this three manifold.
Oh, yeah. That's I forgot to say. Yeah. Ah, no. No, it's different. The choice of the one-dimensional foliation corresponds to the choice of a twister parameter.
Yeah.
When you change it zeta.
Right, it's an elliptic curve bundle over S1 with some monotropy. And the one-dimensional foliation is section. It's an elliptic curve bundle over S1 with some monotropy.
Yes.
And then the one-dimensional foliation is I take a point in the circle, I lift it, and I follow along.
Yes, so, but where, how do you see SL2Z?
I wasn't seeing SL2Z, I was seeing the fact that...
What?
That I was trying to see why the fibers of this bundle on this three manifold can be calculated as Hams with different
objects. No, and I was thinking about SL2Z invariants, I'm still here tomorrow.
Any more coffee?
Okay.